This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
All right. We got Royce in the house here. Royce Unchained. You can find him, everything he does on the Royce Unchained podcast feed. So, Pat, I want to ask you the question that we kicked around on Purple Daily yesterday. If you could take one historical Vikings player in their prime and plop that person on this year's Vikings team, Who would you plop?
Well, I've always said Alan Page was the greatest player in Viking history because he was the MVP in a year which they had absolutely no offense. He was MVP as a defensive tackle. But I'm not sure that is their biggest need. Randall McDaniel. How about that?
We didn't even bring his name up the other day when we did this. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you did. Yeah,
I think he's top three or four in the history of the franchise. He was a beast, and he never missed any games. And I remember Tice, when he was the offensive line coach, going over there and giving him his – he'd always grade the guys. He'd watch the film on Sunday night and then Monday, and then he'd give them their grades on Monday. And he came over to McDaniel and said, "You got another 100 this week." You know, in other words, he didn't miss a block, and he had incredible numbers of those. And the other thing about him was his reliability. I remember doing a column on him way back. He never missed a day of school from kindergarten through the 12th grade.
Wow. What?
Never missed a day of school. He was the most reliable guy that ever lived. And he was also a beast. And, you know, he was a guard. So I guess we don't place quite as much value in those guys. But you give this offensive line a killer guard, they would, you know, that would be pretty good. It would make Bradbury better. It'd make everybody better. So,
yeah. Where did Randall learn that homemade stance with the leg sort of the leg back? You know,
probably came up with it himself. I don't know. He's a very bright guy. Still in town. Stuck around. Lived in Minnesota. You see him around. Still a quiet guy, but very, very nice fellow. And Bernsey'd be babbling about this guy and babbling about this guy, and then they'd get talking about Randall McDaniel, and it'd be like it was from another planet. They would talk about him as a player. It was amazing the tributes that they would play. Even if you weren't looking for a tribute on him, they would just, when they started talking about him, they'd just go on and on about his reliability and how great he was. And, you wonder a lot of times about who they're putting into the Hall of Fame, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in offensive line positions and suddenly. But this guy was, everybody in the league knew how good he was too. So, he was like an immediate Hall of Famer, so. I'd say Randall McDaniel. Why not?
Okay. You know? Yeah, Dex put Steve Hutchinson in, and I think, Steve Hutchinson was incredible too, but we just did not bring up Randall McDaniel, so I feel bad. I'm glad Pat did.
Well, Hutchinson, was maybe, is he Hutchinson their greatest free agent signing?
Boy, he's got to be.
I mean, it wasn't a free agent. They ended up making some great. They basically got him away from
Seattle.
Seattle with this incredible, I think with a financial move that later became illegal. Right, you couldn't do it after.
Yeah. They poison pilled it so that the full 49. It was 7 years, seven per. The entire thing became guaranteed if you played X amount of games each season in the state of Washington.
Yeah, right.
The poison pill.
Yeah, it was right. That was amazing. They got away with it. The first time that they just didn't retroactively declare it illegal, right?
Tagliabue went nuts. Mm-hmm. They were pissed. It was genius by Brzezinski.
Yeah, that it was. Was Spielman in charge then or not? No. Chile was one of the guys
Fran
behind.
Foley.
Huh?
It was Foley, Chile, but Brzezinski's the one that came up with the actual language.
And Fran Foley did this during his long tenure as the general manager of the team. He didn't last a year, did he?
Some of Seifert's finest work.
Yeah.
Some of Seifert's finest work. The flaws in the resume started to trigger the fact that they started to look at Fran because he was a gigantic a-hole, of course. And so then they learned he had lied. He once told a secretary, I think it was his secretary at the Vikings, don't come in tomorrow because it's going to be a bloodbath here. We're going to fire so many people. And they're like, no, you're not. No, not going to work that way, Fran.
Wow. Well, Fran is, you know, that was a period. What year was that? We were really working. It was an era when we were really working hard on resumes, right? And finding these guys that didn't graduate from where they said they graduated and stuff like that. George O'Leary. And yeah, I mean, he was going to be what? The Notre Dame coach, Alabama coach, wasn't he? O'Leary? No, where was O'Leary?
Irish, right? Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And O'Leary going to Notre Dame, who would think he would be crooked? They ended up with what? Texas, UTEP or someplace he ended up.
It's funny, Notre Dame didn't even look at resumes. They just looked at last names that sound the most Irish.
Yeah, right. Hey, I'm old enough. This goes back to the mid-50s. The first really bad, you know, their legendary coach was an Irishman, Frank. What the hell is his name? But then they hired a guy named Terry Brennan in the mid-50s who was like a former player, had no resume as a coach or ever. He was a disaster. And that's when Frank Leahy was the great Frank Leahy. They always said of Frank Leahy's pregame speeches, his son, Frank Jr., had, as he was growing up, three times a year, he had fatal diseases, and he'd make a plea to his players to win one for Frank Jr. Frank had leukemia before anybody knew what it was. He had cancer. He had every disease, polio. He had every disease known to man. So try to win that Saturday's game. I guess his pregame speeches were unbelievable. He was completely crazy, apparently.
Yeah, they won. So they actually, Notre Dame has, they had four national titles under Frank Leahy, the most of any coach in Irish history.
Oh, he was, I mean, he was magnificent. He won all the time, but just crazier than hell, supposedly. I don't know. We kind of drifted off topic there.
No, we can keep drifting. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, yes, it is.
This is a time to drift. Yeah. Actually, it's a time to drift on your brand new Bennington pontoon that hopefully you're going to get from Power Lodge or Miller Marine. Power Lodge locations in Brainerd, Onamia, Ramsey, and Miller Marine in St. Cloud. You have, look at that. Pat, that is Judd right there, the stock photo here, the stock video. Look at Judd.
Yeah, playing look at my with the gray screen. Hair.
Yes. Get your pontoon at Power Lodge.
Come on, Royce.
That looks like one I could run, that all you had to do is press buttons. Anything that took, you know. And it's an inboard, right? It's got to be an inboard, so you don't even have to mess with the, you know, the taking the motor on and off and all that.
We could do it, and if we could do it, you could do it.
If yes, now you still have to park it, which might be a I knocked down a few block docks in my day, but
this might be a self parking. This might be a self parking Bennington. You can ask our friends at Power Lodge and MillerMarine.com.
That looks like a hell of a boat. It's unbelievable. Very good. Way to go, guys. It's going to be a great weekend. So is anybody going to show up at the ballpark? Do you think they're going to have crowds, or does a memorial? Yeah. Everybody going to the lake.
I'll be there for a game or two.
Jay's fans will come down.
Yeah. Jay's fans can't be real happy, though. This team is. Did you see that they had to have the team meeting yesterday? They scored 20 runs on the first game of that series and then lost two more, and they had to have the team meeting yesterday.
Last 11, they're 2-9.
With that,
You never want to catch a team right after the team meeting, right? You know, I feel like this is bad for the Twins. You don't want to be the team that gets the wrath of the team meeting.
And not a team that's really talented. When you have a team meeting with a bunch of bums, it doesn't make any difference. But I look through their lineup, though. Their bottom of their lineup isn't that good. But, they do have Bichette, and they do have Vlad, and they got about four or five really good players. And then but the starting rotation is what's failing them, which is ridiculous. I mean, they got five established starters making huge amounts of money. So Jose doesn't face him till Sunday, right?
Gosman on Friday night, tonight.
Yeah, they've spent a lot of money, and I remember hearing preseason discussions or spring training discussions that everybody was saying they're the team that's going to win the East, and then the Yankees. But I saw Cano last night, by the way, for a pitch for the he finished the game for the Orioles, but he gave up a run, which was walked his first batter of the season, and then he gave up a run.
Walks will haunt, even if you've never walked anyone.
You know what they apparently did was he threw from here when he was here, up here, and he got him down here. And the ball's got a lot more movement on it. I mean, you can see his ball, they seem to have overcome the loss of Jorge Lopez in that bullpen extremely well. So
you praised him and he went in the toilet again.
I know. First 10 games, he was unhittable. I talked to Rocco and he's saying having these two guys at the end is just wonderful. And the next time out, boom, and he's been terrible. Yeah. Stop throwing so damn many breaking balls. He hangs. He's throwing these hangers instead of his good sinking fastball. Throw that thing. You know, make him hit your fastball and don't throw him up. You know, you start to hit her with a big cookie curveball, that bad things are going to happen. That's his big problem, or whatever his breaking pitch is. It's been brutal. And, not having him. And it's going to be interesting to see what roster moves they make today. Correa's going on the DL, but I don't know.
When does he come back now? I mean, it's got to be – he's probably going to miss a month, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but probably a lot. I think Shipley wrote this, and I saw him do this on Twitter, that whatever they say about short-term injuries, don't believe it. don't always, add 3 weeks to anything they tell you about. Now, yes. In Buxton's case, he actually came back, which shocked us all. But he's, he'll be out for a while. They'll have Royce Lewis here June 1st or on the road trip, but they got to wait till then. I don't know. You always wonder why they don't put more guys on the 60-day DL, and now you're finding out why, right?
Because you'd like to. It's like the last 10 or 15 days are a gray area.
Yeah, you'd like to have them. Yeah. You'd like to have them, but that protects a roster spot for you. So they make them do this, but he's not tearing it up like he was, by the way, but he's still, I'll still take him over what they have. If your infield tonight is Farmer and Miranda on the left, God help you, They're not real good, but anyway, they are what? They're last, and the Twins are first, and they have the same record. Basically, they have the same record.
Well, it's amazing that the Twins' run differential is tied for, I think it's tied for third best in the American League, the Twins' run differential is like. It's like 70 runs better than anyone in the division, but their actual record is what, 2 games over .500. So,
but also they have scored two runs or less 16 times.
Yep.
In 50 games.
Feast or famine. It's Adrian Peterson. They're Adrian Peterson. They're a little
Speaking of whom,
yeah,
he wants to come back because of his desire to play, and also because he doesn't have $20. That's another reason. He was being sued. He was broke, and he still got a camel to show up for his birthday party. You know,
was it multiple camels? I think it was multiple camels.
Maybe more than one camel.
At what point does your financial advisor say,
AP,
okay, I'll let you do one camel at your birthday party. Yeah. I don't know about two.
There was no financial advisor. I guarantee that.
When he does, when they do the great, probably one of the best ESPN 30 for 30s was the one about broke athletes. You know, remember the one 10 years. When they do the sequel, he's going to be the featured attraction, isn't he, for the amount of money he made and having, and it was gone, basically. He was coming back playing for nothing. He, you know, he's not a bright fella, not a bright guy, but he was something else for about 6 years.
Why doesn't he go play? I know that he's not going to make a bunch of money in the XFL because those guys make like, I think it's like, I don't know. I think they wind up making like 50 grand or something for the season. So he's not going to change his life playing in the XFL, but why not go play in the XFL? Would they not want an attraction like that? Go dominate or get your face back out
there
and get some Instagram endorsements.
He's the worst combination. He's got pride.
He doesn't have pride. He just fought Le'Veon Bell in a boxing match like 6 months ago.
He wants to continue to add to his legacy in the National Football League.
Yeah, he should be the head of the, you know, he doesn't even have the excuse of coming out of this era now where they don't let running backs make any money after their first contract. You know, he got huge money and he managed to kick it away. When did we find out he was an idiot? Almost from the start, or did it take a while?
Took a couple of years. The one time, the first time that I realized he was in big trouble was the road trips when Dad would be in the lobby of the hotel, and Dad loved to glum on to whatever he could get. And I was like, this kid's going to be. And then I found out he had like a house full of friends that would just shack up. He would go lock himself in his room and watch TV because he couldn't stand all the people in his house.
Yeah, that's what the legend is. I mean, the kids would be roaming around with all these idiots that were his pals, and the house was just lined. Some of those guys cannot get rid of the leeches, man. They just, you know, they cannot get rid of them. And he's not the guy I want on this team, though. He's not the, if you're asking me what
okay.
One
you're still good with Randall McDaniel over Adrian Pearson.
So now when is Dalvin gone after June 1st?
Probably.
Is that one?
Probably.
Yeah. And can they're going to, can you don't have to let him go then. You can hold on longer and hope somebody gives you a sixth round draft choice, right?
Yeah. You could hold him until week one at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that they would give him a break and let him go try to get a job, right? But his deal is he won't negotiate with anybody for a new deal here or what? The lesser money. That's why they can't trade him. Nobody wants to pick up that contract, right?
Correct. No one wants that contract. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the hangups, that there'd have to be some sort of redoing of his contract with any trade, so it makes it more complicated. But
is our when Dalvin leaves this world, what is our view of him? Untapped potential? Is it because of injuries, or was he very good, or what do we look at him back as?
I think he qualifies as very good. Too bad he got hurt, but I think he's a fine pick and a fine player. I don't think that he's like a Ring of Honor type of player, which obviously Peterson is. But, I think he's a very good player.
He's a good player.
Yeah, it was probably when he was at his best, he managed to get hurt a couple of times, which didn't help him. But
including in 17.
It is really going to be interesting to see how running backs are used in this offense here, what we're trying to do now. It seems like they're phasing them out even more, right? So,
well, I don't think you're going to see someone carry 250 times. You'll see a committee no, situation.
No, those days are long over for everybody. Well, all you got to do is look at the draft. The number one skill they were looking for in a running back in this draft was guys who could catch the ball, right?
McBride, I don't think, caught many passes at all. And the guy they drafted in the seventh round, didn't he catch like a
handful? I'm talking about the first round picks in the,
like Bijan.
Also the guy Detroit picked, right? Isn't he a combo guy too?
Yeah.
They made that weird pick.
Still shocked by that pick though. I don't care what he does. I'm still shocked that the Lions. Well, wait,
not as bad as
Lions, I take it back.
Not as bad as the Lions early when they were using number two overall picks 3 years in a row on wide receivers who turned out to be failures. We were wrong on this wide receiver last year. We're going to take another one, damn it. You know, Charles Rogers, who else were the others?
Oh, my God. Was Roy Williams one of them?
Two or three of them in a row.
Calvin worked out.
Calvin did work
out. Yeah, Calvin was great.
He was great, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Pat, we got to run for our Friday Purple Daily live stream here, but we hope you enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
I took the first dip of the season yesterday, kicked around, very good for my old knees to kick around in the pool and do nothing else. And so we're ready to go. We have now paid the $3,000 that it always cost to open the pool this year, and we're ready to go here.
The Wolfson, the Doogie, and Droogie will be over in due time, Pat.
I should never say this publicly. I'll have the Wolfsons over here in 20 minutes. So okay, see ya.
It doesn't take
video of the Doogie cannonball for us.
Yeah. All right, goodbye.
See ya, Pat. All right, Roycey Unchained. See you guys.